From John's Gospel, chapter 14, these verses are actually among the closing verses of the same chapter that begins, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you." That's the start of this chapter. In the end, Jesus says, "When I go, I will not leave you desolate or empty." He says these words, "I've spoken these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is the festival of Pentecost. Liturgically, it is equal to Christmas and Easter. Apparently not so for Hallmark and the chocolate industry. We don't have Pentecost trees or Pentecost baskets or little eggs or any such thing. But it is, in fact, the highest liturgical holiday among three, featuring God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that Jesus leaves with us in the meantime. There's this sense that Jesus came and died and rose and ascended and will come again at some point. And the "at some point" period is when we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for spirit is charism, from which we get the word charisma. So anytime we are inspired by leaders, by music, by poetry, these are the manifestations of God's spiritual gifts. But what I'm struck most by is Jesus' characterization of the Holy Spirit as the Counselor, the Comforter, which I am certain these days, ever more personally in lots of respects, is what we most need, is counsel and comfort. Many years ago, as a young counselor, comforter, pastor in training, we were taught that most of the people who need comfort and counsel in your life and may seek it from you are experiencing losses. And the only thing that helps in times of loss is empathy and understanding what loss is like. Now, we're all in our 20s, and most of us have not had at that point significant losses. But the point was, even the little losses can teach you something. Enter into what it felt like when you were 6 and your turtle died. I mean, it seems silly, but that emotion is the same and carries forward. And if you can tap into that, you can connect with other people. It's the little things that see us through and help us see others through the big things. Now, as all of you know, we've been through a couple of big things in our lives with regard to loss. But I will have to say also, it's the little things that kind of get you in some ways. And I've learned this in a way that is a little bit more personal and profound as of late. I've got my phone, I've got a contact list, you know, and I need to do this one of these days, and in a couple of days I will. Change the contact which says "the folks" to "dad." Small thing. And for which it requires a little spiritual comfort, which we have received in many ways. So I want to talk today about how little things inspire us and what little things see us through day by day, the big things. I think one of the little things that sees us through are our memories. And in the last couple of weeks, we spent a lot of time looking through photo albums and watching old 8mm movies. And 8mm movies are hard to watch because there aren't that many 8mm projectors still working, and most of them have burned out bulbs, but we've got one. And in the movie of, I think it was from 1960, there was this fleeting little vision of my late Uncle George, my dad's oldest brother, who has been gone for 30 years. And Uncle George was the family character, and in the movie, he looked like the family character. It made us all smile, this memory of Uncle George. Now, interestingly enough, my Uncle George's youngest daughter, Susie, is someone that I hadn't seen in 10 years, and yet we've connected with on Facebook over the last year or two. In fact, she friended Jeannie, who'd never met her, and yet have discovered they like a lot of very similar things. So, Jeannie met Cousin Susie, you know, and it was inspiring to not only remember her dad, but to connect with her dad's daughter, as it were. So it's inspiring to remember the people in your life. It's also, I think, inspiring if you stop for a moment and remember your own accomplishments in life, for better or worse. And I need to get this picture. I found in another old album a picture of me as a fifth grader in my Little League baseball uniform. And I remember that year. That was the year I got one hit. The whole year. On the last day of the season. And I'm going, well, things have gotten a little better since then, but it made me smile at the idea that we not only can draw strength from the accomplishments and successes, but we can also draw strength from what we have learned to cope with and how we have learned to prevail over adversity. Now, getting one hit in one baseball season is not a massive amount of adversity, but even the best players get one hit out of three. And learning to cope with the ones you miss, metaphorically, when you swing and miss at a pitch. I mean, we miss a lot more things in life, and we miss out on some things, and some things are done unto us that cause us great pain. And yet we have learned to cope. We've learned to figure out new strategies. We've learned to connect with people who've been there and can help us. So the little things that help, the people we remember, the people we have, and the accomplishments, among which may be most important, accomplishing a way through adversity. And maybe especially through the adversity that is of our own making. Little things, memories. Another set of little things, the kindnesses. Just the small kindnesses that we receive and the small kindnesses we extend to others. We have received many kindnesses through notes and cards and memorial gifts and all manners of expressions of care and concern, all of which mean a great deal. And especially, I think, the idea that at any given moment, someone is praying or has our thoughts or our situation in prayer. And I think that's true for all of us. I mean, we, in our prayers, we offer thanks, praise, comfort, and blessing on those with whom we share this ministry. So it's a small thing that helps grieving people a lot to know that someone has you in mind today. You don't know who, you don't know when, you don't know how, but you know it is. These small kindnesses received, which generate kindnesses given to others. Small, tiny little things that turn out to mean a whole lot that we can do for others. I was in McDonald's a couple months ago, I guess this was, getting breakfast, and I was in a hurry, and I always pick the wrong line. I think everybody always picks the wrong line, right? And in front of me is a guy that's having a simple order, but he's being waited on by two people, being waited on by the assistant manager and the obviously brand new trainee, who, if this isn't her second day, it's her first week, right? And they're doing all this, and finally they get it right, and she's got to show her how to do it, and then she does it, and they're going to show her again, and the order comes, and he pays the bill, and then I watch him. He hands the trainee $2. He gives her a tip at McDonald's. Who does that? And the girl goes to the supervisor, the seasoned old salt, what do I do with this? And the manager said, put it in your pocket. Oh, just lit up, you know? It's this small, I mean, who tips at McDonald's? A kid that's just learning. I thought, what a great idea. When I think of it, sometimes I do that now. Because it mattered so much. I have no idea that this is true, but I know what I remember from my first job. That whenever she is, whatever she is, thinks back 40 years to that first week on the first job at McDonald's, she might remember this guy and the $2 tip and the grizzled old supervisor that said, stick it in your pocket, as it were. Small things are inspiring. I was inspired that day. And it wasn't an especially good one, but it helped to see the guy light up this little kid with $2. Small things, kindnesses extended. And maybe most prominently, the small things that are really not small. That is, our promises. Underneath all of what all there was yesterday with Francis Camp's funeral was the looking ahead to Shelley Devinney's wedding. Shelley Devinney is getting married in September, and her fiancé was with her, and all of us met him for the first time. And so in the midst of losing Francis, we have this thing to look forward to in the family. And weddings are profound in ways that the ceremony and the pageantry sometimes obscures. They actually connect to all of life, and even in grief. My sister told my dad, when losing my mom, that she said, you know, you really held up your end. You said 67 years ago, till death us do part, and that's what happened, you know. And that's true for anybody that makes that deeply profound promise. I will be with you and you with me, and we're it, till it gets horrible for one of us. And as horrible as it gets, this is what makes it worth it. The promise that we are in it together. And when we're not, I'll be grateful that I had you. That's a huge promise. That is but a metaphor for the most profound promise that God gives us through Jesus' promise at Pentecost. I will not leave you empty. I am not here in the same way I was, but I will inspire you with the gift of the Spirit, and that will see you through. This promise from God that this fundamental spiritual strength is ours, no matter what. How do we know? In a deeply profound way, the minister that preached my mother's funeral sermon started what she did by taking in her arms, just silently walking over and taking into her arms one of the three-month-old twins that my niece had just given birth to in February, and started reading the scriptural text, holding this infant, and then said that the last conversation she had with my mom was in the hospital just a few hours before she died, talking about these twins and how fortunate my mom was to have met them, as it were. And then she said the text, which was as meaningful in reality as it is powerful in metaphor, that holding this child, the Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. From Psalm 121, it's the pilgrim psalm. For the comings and goings, the profound promise that is visibly real through the inspiration of the comings and goings, even powerfully embodied in an infant at a funeral. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, will keep you. Well, Merry Pentecost. Amen.